Sunday. This is BK Jones. I am thrilled to be partnering with BPN Radio and Pastor Dale Gentry for Preaching Sundays every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Let's go to the message. Somebody's going to have to go to Kenya next time with me and sleep with me, one of you ladies. I don't like being alone. I don't like sleeping alone. 12 days without my family was very long. God did some amazing things, and the most amazing part to me of my journey was the children. I learned so many lessons from these sweet, sweet babies. And you know what I saw in each one of those babies' eyes? I saw little Brenda Kays. I saw little me's that just needed attention, just needed somebody to love them. They would literally fight until somebody turned loose of my finger and then another one would grab a finger. So I had about five kids on each hand, and then I had them under my arms and around me. And they brought so much healing and so much love. And kids were so important to Jesus. And I heard the Holy Spirit just speak to my spirit and say, this is why I told them, let the children come to me. Because it's in them that my kingdom exists. In Matthew 19, verses 13 through 14, it says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. And he placed his hands on each one of their heads and blessed them before he left. See, in the Jewish culture, children were regarded somewhat like women, and they were to be seen and not heard, and they were brushed away, and they weren't as important. You know, in our society, children are the deal, right? We kind of like put our kids up on too high of a pedestal, but in that community that I was in, and in the culture that Jesus lived in, kids weren't cherished as they should be. And Jesus was bringing change to that, just like he was bringing change to the elevation of women. We're equal, and we all were loved equally. So Jesus had been teaching, and some of them brought their children, and the disciples are saying, get away, get away. And I don't think the disciples knew any better, because that was their culture. And they're saying, no, don't bother him. Don't bother him. Get away from them. And Jesus was like, no. This is exactly who I want to hang out with, because you can learn so much from a child. Jesus immediately corrected them and urged them, no. Let them come to me. Let them get up against me. Let them catch my spirit, because it's in them that my kingdom exists. And unless all of you come to me in this innocence and this purity like these children are coming, unless you all come to me with this hunger and this thirst for the righteousness that's in me, you can't have any part of my kingdom. You've got to come like the little children. He was upset that anyone would get in the way of those babies coming to him. Kids were a priority to him, and they should always be a priority to us. I'm sure they were drawn to his spirit. They were so cute in Kenya. They came to me, and they would say, when I thought I'd prayed for everybody, we'd pray for hundreds of people, they would come to me, and they would tap on me, and they would take my hand and put it on their head and say, yes, bless. Yes, bless. They just wanted to be near somebody that had Jesus in them. They wanted the prayers. They were trained. They were taught. Or I don't know. I'm wondering, did the mothers teach them that? Or are they just desirous of that attention? Because I know as a child, I could feel God in people. But it's so important that children are reached early. And you know Jesus knew that, since he was God and had all wisdom. Christianity Today says 85% of people who accept Christ do so before they're 18 years old. It's a very small percentage of people that will accept Christ after their teen years. The most important thing in the world is getting your child connected to Jesus and the body of Christ, so that his spirit will keep their hearts pure. If you don't impart his spirit into the children that you have influence over, the world will impart their spirit in them. And in a few years, or in a, you know, we have to. Christ has to be the center. He has to be the one that we plug them into. People of God have to be the people that we allow to be major influencers in their lives, because there will come a time when they're going to look to the people that have influenced them. And I look at my own home, and I look at the grace of God and the mercy of God that landed me in a church full of people that were not perfect, but oh, how they loved me. They made it a point to get me to church. They made it a point to honor my mother by making sure that I got back to the house of God. I bothered some of them to do that, but they always came. And I know I talk about that often, but I want you to know it was that connection with the body of Christ that kept me from the drug deals, from the predators, from people that were after the world, bringing out the world in me instead of bringing out Christ in me. So it's so important that we connect our children with the people of God. His Spirit will keep their hearts pure. On several occasions, Jesus used children to set the standard for the kingdom. When his disciples in Matthew 18, starting with verse 1, it says, "About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And Jesus called a little child." And I just kind of picture this child in my head. I don't know why, but I think of all those Kenyan babies. And there were just a few of them that I had to take into my lap. There were just a few of them that I couldn't let go of them. There was a few of them that I wouldn't bargain a finger on. You know what I mean? There was a little boy in a green sweater that wanted to touch me so bad and needed a mother's love so bad. And he smelled awful. His little sweater, he wore it all the days we were there. And he was just so dirty and filthy and had a little snot on his nose and stuff. And man, I wanted him. I wanted to touch him. He had something that I needed, and I had something that he needed. I had the presence of God, and he just needed to be in that safe place with somebody that would look after him. I watched bigger kids than him come up and heckle him for wanting to be in the crowd with the other little girl, with the little girls around me, and he would just look at them and shake his head no. He was so precious and so kind, and every day since Kenya, I think I can safely say, his little eyes still meet my eyes in my mind. So Jesus said in Matthew 18, he said, "About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom?'" Like, who's the big dog here, Jesus? Who's the one that's most important to you? And Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. And the disciples were not expecting this. And he put that little child up there and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven." So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. Listen. Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. I think about my childhood and I think about the places I was welcomed in. And I see this scripture and think, they were welcoming God by welcoming me. They provoked a blessing over their home because they cared about my pain. They cared about my innocence. They cared about God in me. And so that's so awesome to me. I don't know why that scripture jumped out at me like it did today, but anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. Remember that when you're tempted to push a child away, when you're tempted to not bother with them, when they want to show you something 87 times, when you're welcoming them, you're welcoming Christ. Verse 6 says, "But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts me in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea." Jesus takes the treatment of children very serious. They're to be valued and they're to be loved and they're to be taken care of. In verse 10 it says, "Beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father." That verse just gets me. Don't look down on them because you knew the people as a kid that's not in the best situation. You know the people who look down on you. You know the ones that think you're not good enough to be in their presence. And Jesus said, think about that. Don't look down on them because if you're offending them, you're offending me. And then I think he says, "For I tell you, in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father." To think that he had angels over each one of us. It said angels, not one, many. Allison, every night before she went to bed when she was a child, she would struggle with fear some. She probably got that from me. And so we would pray and we would pray for big fat angels, not little tiny scrawny angels, Jesus. We want big fat angels. And when I was in Kenya and I was a little nervous, Allison sent me a message and she said, "Praying for big fat angels, not little tiny scrawny angels, Mom." And that, you know, because it was implanted. And what we give to them, what we put in them, comes back to splash on us. That word just gave me just the best vision because I was scared. It was a creepy place. And I started envisioning what she said. And at that moment, I became like a child. And I thought, I really do have big, fat, strong angels, not little, tiny, scrawny angels working on my behalf. But while the disciples seemed to have a view of children as trivial, Jesus saw them as precious and valuable, of top priority in his kingdom. Children are the kingdom's greatest asset. Jesus went as far as to say, unless you turn from your sin and become like a child, unless you turn from your sin and become innocent, allow me to renew your heart, renew your mind, and get your life in order. Unless you become to me, unless you come to me with that purity and that innocence to be cleansed and to be washed and to be led, then you can't be part of my kingdom. Then he said in Matthew 18, verses 3 through 4, it says, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you'll never get there. What's so special about children? I love that they're happy with little if they're allowed to be. They are happy with little if they're allowed to be. We overdo it with our kids. I remember a defining moment when I realized all this stuff is not helping anything. I'm creating something that I don't need to create. And so I started being more intentional about making the gifts count, but not having to buy so much of it, you know, not constantly. Because if we raise them to always have their hand out for us and to always get stuff from us, they're going to miss catching our spirit that's inside of us, because we become a goody dispenser instead of a parent or someone that they look up to. But they are so happy with the little. I watched these children in the slums, and there was one little boy, and he showed up every day, and he's rolling the same tire all around the place. He just rolling a little bicycle tire that he's found. It's a little flat. He doesn't care. It's a little bumpy. He doesn't care. That's the toy he has, and he's found contentment in it, because children are content with what they have. They don't know any better. They don't know about Nintendo. They don't know about all the whatever is the current thing, PlayStation. All. They're happy just to play with people, to play with sticks, to, you know, just the simple things. Children are humble. You seldom see a child with pride. Have you ever thought about that? You seldom see a little child with pride. And if you see a little child with pride, look, you don't have to look far to see where he caught it, right? Kids are adventurous. Their spirit is so excited and so just into what's the next fun thing we can do. And I watched them as the music started every single night. Those children that had nothing, most of them we could identify every night, because every night they had on the same dirty clothes. So it was easy to find my friends. I didn't tell you about this. They talked me into dancing with some of the children. I will spare you the video. But so I'm like, okay, I should be adventurous. I should try to do this. I should become like a little child. And so I bought this skirt at Ross for $8.99, and I don't think that was a very good idea. But I started dancing with this little girl. Okay, there's hundreds of people standing around. And as soon as I start dancing, my skirt just shimmies on down to my feet. So the people have a flash of white. But thank God, while being led by the Spirit at Walmart, before I left, I paid $8.98 for a slip. And I wondered, is this really worth $8.98? I tell you, at that moment when my skirt slipped over my hips and down to into the dirt, that skirt was worth $1 million. That slip was worth $1 million. But it was so funny. But the kids, they just, you know, instead of it like scaring them or freaking them out, they just laughed, and they wanted me to put my skirt back on and come. The only one that was upset was the little girl that was dancing with me. And I saw her later, and she looked at me with tears in her eyes, and she said, I'm so sorry. They didn't say sorry. They said, I'm so sorry. And I said, it's okay, it's okay. And I gave her the thumbs up. She ran, and she was embarrassed, thinking that somehow she had caused that. She was all worried about that. So I prayed and prayed and looked for her all night. And finally, I found her, and I went and said, that was not your fault. I wouldn't take anything for dancing with you tonight. That was the best part of my trip. And she said, I'm so sorry, though. And I said, it's okay. But that adventurous spirit in them, every time the music started, they didn't sit there and wonder, am I going to worship God? Am I going to extravagantly throw down for Jesus? It was just born into them, that the minute the music started, they came out of the cracks. They came. One little boy went up to the top of the building because he couldn't see people dancing. He's dancing at the top of a store, and they just come from all their homes, from storefronts. They just run out, and they all just start worshiping extravagantly because it's an adventure. It's something awesome. They love the feeling of abandonment and worship, and they will dance. I don't know. I couldn't keep up with them for 30 seconds, but they would dance for hours. And I think God misses that about us, that we would extravagantly worship Him tirelessly. That's how children that are trained to worship Him worship Him. I don't even know that they're trained. It was just their response to worship was to just give it their all. They never thought about, you didn't see any of them just slinking around. They just all gave everything they had. And that's the heart of the kingdom, is to give God everything they have. Kids are free, and they should be worried free. I love that. I was thinking, what will they go home to? But in that moment, to them, it didn't matter. What mattered was they were in His presence, and they wanted to give Him everything. Jesus is calling us to be like kids. They exemplify the kingdom. Take notice of them, value them, become like them. Look at your heart. One of my prayers while I was in Kenya was, God, help me recapture that child in me that never looked around to see what anybody else was doing. Help me recapture that child in me that would not hesitate at Your voice. Help me recapture that time when nothing else mattered but You. You know, because as adults, we start getting so overloaded with what we owe, what we need to do, you know, with our family, with all this responsibility. But what matters is being with Him. What matters is capturing God's Spirit and letting it live inside of you. And what matters are the people around us, not the stuff we accumulate. The greatest thing we can do for the kingdom of God has become like a little child, recapturing our childlike innocence. They love without ever thinking of the price they'll pay when they get hurt. Children love without ever thinking of the price it'll cost them if they get hurt. There's nothing sweeter than the pure heart of a child. Those people didn't know me from Adam's house cat. They didn't care about my baggage. They didn't care about anything I was bringing. They loved me because of God's presence inside of me. There's nothing sweeter than the pure heart of a child. They imitate what they see. If they see you worshiping, they're going to worship. And I want to tell you that about your kids. If they see God being a priority with you, He's going to be a priority to them. If they see you worshiping Him, they're going to worship Him. I love it. I've seen it with all the babies that have grown up around here, that I watch them being tiny and just lifting those little hands to Jesus. We're teaching them every minute of every day, and we got to be like that. Just every time we get in God's presence, let us respond to Him in a childlike way so that our children will see that and exalt Him. Children are easily dependent. It was natural for them to depend on me at that moment because I seemed safe and I seemed okay. And God wants us to be so dependent on Him. He wants us to be relentlessly dependent on Him. Not looking to our jobs. It's not that you don't have to work, but don't look to that as your source. Look to the Father as your source. Trust Him to protect you. Trust Him to take care of you. Trust Him to provide for you. Children embrace people just at face value. They just love you because they want to. Until you teach them they can't love you, they're going to love you. And children always give back. When I was thinking about this, you know, those children gave so much more back to me than I could have ever given to them. And they didn't even know, but it was just natural for them to give that love to me. It was just natural to them. And I was thinking one time, one of the sweetest moments that I cherish, and Austin probably doesn't even remember it, but we were at a restaurant, and I didn't find a lot of quarters that time. And I gave him what I had, and he was turning the thing. He kind of snuck away, and he was going to spend his quarters. And he came back with a plastic gold ring that I still have today. And he said, "This is for you, Mom." And I said, "Oh, buddy, those quarters were for you." And he said, "But I love you, Mom." And I said, man, I love you too. And he said, I want you to wear it. And I put on that big gold plastic ring, and I wore it with pride, and I still have it today in my jewelry. Allison went to the beach. The only time I think I've ever let her go anywhere without me. She went to the beach, and she came home, and she had this necklace, and it hangs in my bathroom today. And she came home with it, and she said, I wanted to get you a surprise. And all we got to do was go to a yard sale. But I got you this cool necklace. Well, I can never throw away that necklace because she took what could have been spent on her and spent it on me. She just wanted to give to me. It's just a natural instinct of children to give back. I have also have a piece of art. And Allison, she didn't have money to buy a present. And so I know her daddy would have given it to her. But she wanted to do something. She's always been super creative. She wanted to do something just for me. And so she found a canvas, and she painted it. I didn't even really know that she was an artist at the time, but she's a phenomenal artist. And but she was, I don't even remember, maybe 8. And she drew a tub and Bath and Body stress relief and said, a mom's 2 favorite things. This tub, her daddy had just put me in a tub, and stress relief. So, you know, it's just their nature to give back. You know, it was just Austin's nature not to think. He had all these options. There's probably 10 gumball machines and junk that he would have liked to have. But as a child, he chose to do something for somebody else instead of just do that for him. And that's the heart of God. That's the heart that God wants us to have. Recapturing childlike faith, not reasoning everything out. How many of you reason yourself out of so many blessings by deciding why God couldn't do that for you? You know, a child wants what they want, and they're not thinking about why you couldn't get it most of the time, right? They just want what they want. They have this persistent faith in us as parents, and I want to tell you, God wants us to have that relentless and persistent faith in Him that He can do what we want Him to do. He can restore our marriages. He can change our lives. He can heal our broken hearts. He can minister life to us. So recapture that childlike trust. Children are free, and they function more out of emotion than out of reason. And we have to be careful as adults that we don't reason everything, that we don't look at. So many times I thought, God, you could do this. And then I start to think, well, you know, and start giving myself reasons why He wouldn't. And He just wants us to come to Him in abandonment and just ask Him for what we need. It says it's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. I think about people that acted like children in the Bible. And one of the ones that came to me is in John 13. You don't have to get this, Charlie, but John 13. John was laying his head. He's a grown man, and he's laying his head on Jesus' breast. He's just reclining with Him because they know they're getting it. Jesus is telling them, you know, this is coming to an end. And I can just see me just like John. He didn't care what anybody thought. He just wanted to soak in more of Him. And John is referred to later as the disciple Jesus loved. And it wasn't that Jesus loved him any more than he did the others. It was that he was attached to Him. He attached himself to Him. He made himself part of where Jesus was. He wanted to be right up beside Him. Jesus, I got the feeling He might have been annoying. Jesus couldn't get rid of Him. And that was the kind of kid I was. That's why I saw myself in those kids. I was going to stay with anybody dispensing love as long as they would let me. And you know, God is always dispensing love. And He always wants us aware. I think in John 11, a childlike faith and a little bit of doubt mixed with it. When Lazarus has died, and Jesus's one of his best friends, Mary and Martha, Mary meets him at the door, and Mary said, "You know, if you'd been here," and isn't that just like a child? They'll just say whatever the rest of us are thinking, and I kind of appreciate that. The times my kids have said what I wanted to say but didn't have permission to say, but Mary said, she said, "It would have been nice if you'd have been here. You know, we called. He's dead now." And Jesus said, "Oh, he's not dead. He's just sleeping. It's going to be all right." But it's so funny. Her response was a child. And, you know, Jesus can handle those kind of emotions in us. She was just quick to ask the question that everybody was thinking. "Where have you been?" I wish somebody had taught me as a child that it's okay to ask Him questions. It's okay to say, "What's going on here, God? I don't get why life's turning out the way it is." people argue which Mary it was, but just for confirmation this morning, Jensen Franklin used that same Mary, Lazarus' sister, as the lady with the alabaster box. That's one of the Marys that she's assumed to be, and she had been forgiven of so much. And if that was her, if that was Lazarus' sister pouring the oil, coming with her alabaster box and breaking it over Jesus' feet, or if it was just another woman that had had struggles. They had such childlike trust because they went and got the most priceless thing that they owned, and they just broke it over him. One time, somebody at this church bought me this little Coach wallet, and it had a little notepad in it. I was like, oh my goodness, this cost a lot. I'd never had anything like that. And I was like, wow, this is something. Later that night, Allison came to me and she said, look, Mom, I drew on your notepad. And I was like, because to be honest, I was taking that sucker back, $75 for a notepad. No, sir. But you know, I never tore that page out. And of course, I never took it back. It made it so much more precious to me that she had scribbled me a little love in that book. She didn't know the price. It didn't matter what the price was. It became priceless when she added her love to it. And the lady with the alabaster box that came and anointed Jesus, she brought him the very best that she had. And she wasn't thinking, you know, people are standing around commenting about how much it costs and how it's a year's wages and stuff. And Jesus said, chill out. This is the BK version. She came to me like a child. She didn't care what you guys thought. She didn't care how much it was worth. She wasn't thinking about her future. She was thinking about her worship. I want to encourage you today to become like a little child, because kids are the kingdom. Kids are absolutely the kingdom. And unless we come to him and ask him to forgive our sins and allow him to make us innocent again, isn't that the most smoking hot deal of all eternity? That Jesus Christ died on the cross, took my sin and your sins. He didn't just die. He rose again and went to the right hand of God to ever make intercession for us, to ever wipe our slate clean when we come to him and ask for his permission to be clean. How awesome is that? Every time we come to him, he restores our innocence. Every time we bring our filthy, dirty rags of righteousness to him, he swipes them to the side and he gives us his righteousness. And he says, let me stand in front of you. I encourage you today to think about, how can you become like a little child? Where have you gotten a little hard? Where have you gotten a little cynical? Where have you gotten a little out of reason with reasoning God's blessings away from your life? And then ask him to cleanse your heart and cleanse your mind and cleanse your life of everything that doesn't resemble his kingdom. He really loves you right where you're at. And he really wants to restore that childlike trust in you. Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, I thank you that we can come to you. As old as I am, I can come to you, God. If I'm upset, if I'm happy, if I'm sad, God, your door is always open. Your ears always attend to my cry, and I thank you for that. I thank you for coming to me as a child, and I pray that we would just raise the value of our children, Lord, that we would just realize, Lord, the value in them, and that we would learn from them more about you, God. Lord, I pray for those that are hurting this morning, that you would touch them, that you would minister to your grace and your love to them, God. I pray that those that have been so bogged down by the world would break out of that today in Jesus' name and be free to live again. Some of you are under such a heavy burden that it's really just hard for you to take the next breath. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just slip up your hand or make eye contact with me. I want to pray for you. If your heart's just so heavy, and being a child again, so many people say, I wish I was a child again. You can be a childlike in your faith and let God do something extravagant with you. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you'd like to do that today, we'd love to introduce you to him. He loves you with an everlasting love. And for some of you, the world has painted an ugly picture of God.
But I want to tell you, if you look in His Word, you'll find that His love for you is relentless, that He'll never stop reaching for you. He'll never stop extending His grace and mercy to you as long as you call on Him.